Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You have tuned in to another live Monday evening show, the QLJNradio.com. This is the Final Authority. This is your host, Ambassador Pastor Everett Robinson. And the Final Authority air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We appreciate you sharing the word and passing the message to friends and loved ones about the Final Authority. And you can grant them the phone number to call in case they have a question or a comment they want to make. Also, just to tune into the show. Okay? Well, we're going to go right into a word of prayer. We'll give you the topic that we're going to discuss today after we do the prayer and give you the call-in number. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. In the holy, majestic name of our Son, Jesus Christ, Father, having confessed to the Lordship of Christ, having rested our faith solely and exclusively upon your Son, Jesus the Christ, Father, we thank you for your goodness and the grace that you bestowed upon us through Christ. And Father God, we hold fast to our faith in the integrity of your word, that you are a God of your word. You uphold and honor and back your word. Father, we stand before you, Father, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness, and sealed with your spirit. Looking to you as our God, Father, source provider, and giver of life. We thank you, Father, for having blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that we have peace and a joy that's from heaven, full of glory in our heart and in our soul. We give you glory, Father. And, Father, we ask your word would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us too, and for the glory of Christ. Pray, Father God, that you will give us a hearing ear that we can hear from you as creator of heaven and earth, as our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to deal with today. The topic is, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us. Now, during the show, if you have a question or you have a comment, please feel free to call. The area code is 515-605-9768. If you have a question or comment, please call. The number is 515-605-9768. Once you are connected, press the number 1 at any time on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my show, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority. I also want to mention that if you are desirous to give a free will contribution towards the support of the Final Authority, just go to www.qljnradio.com. Scroll down to the donation button, click the donation button, and whatever you desire to give, you can give as freely as you will. And make sure that you earmark it by stating this donation is for the Final Authority, okay? And don't forget to put your name on there also. All right. Okay, so if God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, when you hear that statement, if God is for us, who can be against us, then what does that mean? See, and I think what's very important is that as we search the scriptures to get an understanding of the verse from which those words come from. So we're going to look at the context. So we don't want to assume what it means if God be for us, or if God is for us, who could be against us? Well, what does that mean? What is the point that the Apostle Paul is making in saying those words within its immediate context? And so if you have your Bible, you want to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to read verse, actually the verse that it comes from, verse 31, but we're going to, after I read them, I'll pause for a moment, make a comment. We're going to go back and read the preceding and the proceeding verses, okay? So in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul writing to the believers in Rome, he says, "What shall we say then to these things? Or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, if God, if the Almighty God, if the living and true God, if the omnipotent, that is the all-powerful, the all-wise, the omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at one and the same time, God, if he is who he is, and his power is so vast and so great, his wisdom is so supreme to ours, that we cannot even fathom and comprehend the infinite wisdom of Almighty God, and he being everywhere at one and the same time, he knows all things, there's not anything he does not know. And if he is for us, who could be against us? And when he says against us, who is the us he's referring to in the context? Now, God being for you doesn't mean that you won't ever have any problems. But the fact that some things are against you or appear to be against you are coming against you, what does that mean? If God is for me, why am I having so many problems? God never, ever promised that you would have a problem-free life. God never promised that you would not have any issues even within yourself or any outside things that come against you at all. We see actually the opposite. Look at Jesus, the very divine, unique Son of the living God. Look at all of the tests and trials and the attacks that came against him. And he's the unique Son of God. All the opposition, the false witnesses, the betrayals against him, the lies against him, all those things he had against him, but yet everything he went through, now look at the ultimate place he's in. The heavens in a glorified state with his Father. He went through it. So as we even go through the Old Testament scriptures, and we look at even the Old Testament prophets and the people of God, the men of God, look at the things in which they have suffered. They went through a whole lot. And look at many of the New Testament believers, how many of them became martyrs and suffered persecution and torture and imprisonment and beatings and died for their faith. If God be for us, who could be against us? Well, what does this mean in the context? Jesus even said, in the world, you are going to have tribulation. Jesus also said that persecution and affliction arise for the word's sake. So we're going to have some issues. We're going to have some problems. You're going to have some disappointments. You're going to get upset at times. You might even get frustrated at times. All right? Jesus even said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets. So Jesus is our Lord and Master, and he suffered, and the servant is no greater than the master, so we're going to suffer. So in the world, we're going to have tribulation, just like Jesus said. So we're going to have pain. We're going to have all these things and suffering. Also, Paul, writing a letter to Timothy, he tells him very clearly that those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And look at all the things the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he established so many churches. He proclaimed the gospel of Christ to the Gentile nations. And he proclaimed the gospel of Christ even in Israel, in the synagogues of the Jews. And look at all the persecution that he experienced. He was betrayed, and he was attacked, and he had false witnesses against him, and he was beat several times, and he was put in prison in stocks and pain. All those things. And yet he endured all of that. So you're going to have tribulation, tests, and trials. But also, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, James. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into, that is, when you encounter various temptations, tests, and trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Your faith is going to be tested. Do you have a true, genuine faith? Is your faith genuine, what I call an authentic faith? Do you have faith really in your heart, and you rest your faith solely and exclusively upon the authority and the integrity of God's word? Are you really steadfast in your faith, unmovable and abounding in the face of, in the midst of? And so you're going to have these things. So your faith is going to be tested. And the test is going to come to determine whether you have a true, genuine faith. And it also comes to develop your faith and also patience, which is the ability to remain the same under pressure. So we're going to have these things. So God being for us doesn't mean that we're going to have it easy. We just have the grace of God to enable us to get through what we're going through. That we would, there's a point in time we would break, but by us depending upon the grace of God, by us looking to Christ and holding fast to our faith in the work of the Holy Spirit in us, he then enables us to endure and get through what we could not get through apart by ourselves from him. See, so apart from the Holy Spirit and the grace of God working in us, we would break and fall apart and just flat out lose it. And so we're going to look at this here. So in Romans chapter 8, again, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So when it says, what shall we say then to these things, what things is he talking about? Well, to know what things he's talking about in that verse, you would have to read the preceding verses to know what he said about things. All right? So he clearly had proved within the context that God is for us. He's for us. And he says, who can be against us? All right. Now, we're going to go back, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to start at verse 26. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I'm going to read on down. So Paul says, likewise, the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. All right. This is the Spirit here refers to the Spirit of truth called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, he sanctifies us. He teaches us. He guides us. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. The word infirmities is a word means inabilities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here Paul is saying that we have a human infirmity, that is our inability or our weaknesses. We don't always know exactly what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. So we have now the interventing work of the Spirit of God in us now who make intercession for us. So even when we pray, the Spirit filters our prayers and intercedes for us and offers our prayers up to the Father God perfectly. So we don't know what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. That's for us who are believers in Christ, those who have heard the true gospel, those who have come to true authentic biblical repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by the blood of Christ, robed in the righteousness of Christ. Those who are identified with Christ and joined to Christ by the Spirit. See, so by virtue of the fact that you have come into a true, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you pray, you have a work of the Spirit to fulfill your prayers when you pray. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for who? The saints according to the will of God. Wow. Amen. See, you have the work, the person, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you. All right? And he makes sure that prayer is prayed according to what? The will of God. And then he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Notice what Paul says here, and we know that. This is very important for you as a believer in Christ, for those who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who've been washed in the blood of Christ, for those who rest their faith upon the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and the shed blood of Christ for you, his burial and his resurrection, and you look to Christ. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. See, right here it says, we know, not we assume, not we think that, we know that. Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So we have the revelation of Scripture here that all things work together. So no matter what things you are going through or you have and or have experienced or experiencing in life, whatever it is, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad you feel, no matter the nature of it, if you love God and you're called according to his purpose, and he called you into his salvation through faith in Christ, he, God, is behind the scenes, as it were, working all things together for your good. See, he's working it all in for your good. And right here, Paul is showing that God is for you. God is not against you. You are his child. You have come to faith in Christ, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so God loves you. You are his child. God is with you and God is for you. And so he's behind the scenes working all things, no matter what it is, the nature of it. You have some very bad things that happen in your life, some very terrible experiences. And it could be in the church, it could be at home, it could have been at school, it could have been at work, it could be in the neighborhood. You love God and you are called according to his purpose. You have the work of the Spirit that makes intercession for you according to the will of God. It's according to the will of God. Then God's behind the scenes working. He intervenes, he interwoves all those things, working it for your good. So it says, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did foreknow, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? To what things? The fact that you got the Spirit helping your weaknesses and inability and making intercession for you according to the will of God. The fact that God is behind the scenes working all things together for your good, and that you love God and you are called according to his purpose. The fact that God has predestinated you to conform to the image of his Son. the fact that God did predestinate you and called you and justified you and glorified you. That's so much overwhelming evidence that God is for you. So right here, if God foreknown you, predestinated you, called you, justified you, and glorified you, and sent his spirit to make intercession for you, it's evident then that God is for you. God is not working against you. He's working things together for your good, for your growth, your development, all right, and for the good of your life, all for his glory. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, the idea of if God be for us is not even implying that he's not for us. It's showing that he is for us, and he's saying that if God be for us, who can be against us? So he's making a statement that is a rhetorical statement, or I would say a question, I should say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Absolutely nobody. If God foreknown me, predestinated me, called me for his purpose, justified me, and glorified me, and we'll do with that word glorified and all that, we'll do with justification also, a little bit of predestination and foreknowledge, he is definitely for me. He's not against me. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. Did you hear that? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You see, God so loved you. He so loved me. Even when we were yet sinners, God sent his son and delivered up his son for us in our place, so that the Son of God now can go in our place for us, and he can be judged for our sins. We the ones that sinned against God. We the one that deserved the wrath and judgment of God. But Christ, God delivered up his own Son for us, so that the Son can satisfy the man's divine justice. Sin must be condemned, and our sin was condemned upon Christ on the cross, and Jesus Christ suffered for us, and died for our sins, and shed all his blood for us, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he rose again for our justification. So, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. How could God be so gracious? Why? Thank you, Jesus, his love for you. Justice was satisfied. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Wow, I love this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of, who gonna bring a charge or accusation against you before Almighty God? Who gonna walk in God's court of law and bring a charge against you when God had already foreknown you, predestinated you, called you, justified you, and glorified you? God has justified you. It is God that justifies. So if God justified you, you are justified. It doesn't matter what anyone say. It doesn't even matter even how you feel. It's not even based on your feelings. It's not even contingent upon your feelings. It's solely based upon the fact, the historical fact, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, that Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, took upon human flesh so that he can ultimately go to a cross and be nailed to a cross and have all of your sins, and I mean all of your sins, placed upon him, and he bore all of your sins in his own body, and he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your lawlessness, and he was judged for all of your sins. And the Father God delivered up his son, and the Father God did not relent and or hold back his judgment when he judged your sins upon his son, Jesus Christ. So he did not spare his son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So God elected you. You've been handpicked by God in Christ. You see, God knew all there was to ever know about you, and there was not anything that God did not know about you before he created the heaven and the earth. He knew all there was to ever know about you. And he knew everything that you was going to ever do in your ever life. And yet, he had chosen you to be his very own. He foreknown you. He predestinated you. He had planned out for you to come to a relationship with him through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And now that you love God and you have faith in Christ and you trust what the word of God says, God is behind the scenes working all things together for your good. God's not going to accept any charge against you. Don't even bring a charge against yourself. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He's using what is called forensic terms or terms used in the court of law. So the idea is the court of law, that God is the righteous judge of the earth who will always do right. And we stand in God's court of law. And now, you come to a true faith in Christ, God justifies you. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 1, it says that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So by virtue of the fact that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, because we were the offenders, but he went in our place, and it was the Father God that delivered up his son for us to be judged for us in our place, and Jesus Christ not only died and shed his blood, but he was buried, he rises from the dead for your justification. And by virtue of the fact that you have embraced the biblical Messiah, Jesus the Christ, and rest your faith solely upon all that he done for you through his death, shed blood, glory, and resurrection. He washes you from all of your sins, robes you in his righteousness. The Spirit joins you to Christ. And now the Father God says, I declare you righteous. That's justification. Every charge against you, A, is dismissed. God doesn't even bring a charge against you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You are God's elect in Christ. It is God that justifies. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemns? Who can come in God's court of law and overrule the judgment of God? If God judged you as justified and declared you righteous and at peace with himself, who can overrule the ruling of God? Absolutely no one. Who is he? Who can come and condemn you? Wow. Absolutely no one. What we're going to do is we're going to come back, pick back up in verse 34. I may have to go back to verse 33, but I have a break coming up. But the thing is to embrace the authority of the word of God. Remember, living by faith is resting upon the integrity of God's word, trusting fully all who Christ is, and trusting all that Christ has done for you on that cross. And the Father God substantiated that he accepted the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death in the shed blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, by raising his Son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, from among the dead, and then raising him up into the heavens, and Christ is now glorified in the heavens. What a blessing. So, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And if God justifies you, it doesn't make any difference what anyone say. You are justified. You are declared righteous. So because you're declared righteous by God, then God treats you just as righteous as his son, because the righteousness that you now have is a righteousness that was gifted to you from Jesus Christ. So the fact that now that you're joined to Christ, you are just as righteous as Jesus Christ, because you are an heir of that righteousness of Christ. So you got that righteousness imputed or credited to you, and you're joined to Christ by the Spirit. You are declared righteous by God. Now that's a blessing. Well, we're going to take a break. Please stay tuned into the final authority. We're going to pick back up in verse 33 and proceed from there. Thank you for staying tuned in to the final authority. I will see you after the break.
Listening to the hot new QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs of Q.
All right, well, thank you for staying tuned in to the Final Authority. All right. That song was by Kevin Archie, called Rejoice. Celebrate. I can celebrate because of what Christ done for me. That kind of reminds me of Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Galatia, and he says that God forbid that I glory or rejoice except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, I rejoice for what Christ has done for me, that he satisfied the demands of divine justice for me on the cross, and he died for my sins and shed his blood to redeem me on that cross. So I rejoice and celebrate because of what he has done for me. Again, that song was called Rejoice by Kevin Archie. All right, so let's get right back to it, Romans chapter 8. Again, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call in 515-605-9768. Again, the number to call in for a question or comment is, the area code is 515-605-9768. After you are dialed in and connected, press the number 1 on your phone, and my producer will connect you to my line, and I'll welcome you to the Final Authority. Okay, if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, now, so back to verse 34, well, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who has the authority to condemn you? Who has that authority? Who holds that authority? Who can walk in God's court? After God has clearly revealed in the scriptures that he has justified you, and that you love God, and you are called according to his purpose, and that you've been washed from your sins in the blood of Christ, and you are robed in the righteousness of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you stand in God's court of law, and someone comes in to condemn you, God ain't hearing it. He ain't hearing it at all. Who can overrule the rulings of God? Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is, present tense, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That is so powerful. See, Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. See, Christ died. He died for what? Your sins. All your sins was placed upon Christ on the cross. And Christ was stricken, smitten of God, and he was smitten for all the sins. And he dies on that cross for all the sins. So who can condemn you? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. He rose again. So this is Romans chapter 8. Well, in chapter 4, it tells you that he rose again for our justification. So all that Christ did, he did for you and I. And because of what he did, we get the benefit credited to us. We did not do that. He did. We believe on him with our heart. We rest our faith solely and exclusively upon all that he has done for us. And upon our genuine faith in the biblical Messiah, the Christ, and accepting and embracing and holding to what he has done for us by dying for our sins and shedding his blood for the remission or the forgiveness of our sins and our redemption, and was buried and rose again for our justification, no one holds the authority to condemn us. God doesn't even condemn us. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 1 also says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, so it's not about your human performance and your abilities. Now, having performance and having abilities is good within its place, within its context. But listen, you can have the greatest performance in the world. You can do the greatest works in the world, the greatest deeds in the world. But listen, if your faith, if you do not have faith rested upon the redemptive death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection from among the dead, all you do will mean nothing when you stand before God. See, because you don't go to heaven because you've done all the good works that you can do within your powers. Everything is solely and exclusively based upon all that Christ has done for us. Verse 32 again, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Yes. So you go back to Romans 4, that Christ was, verse 25, Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So your being justified by God is solely contingent upon all that Christ done and your faith in that which Christ has done. So it's not in your works. Having works and doing good deeds is good. I do good works and good deeds and a lot of them. But that does not make me justified in God's court of law if my faith is not in Christ. You see? So, now, verse 33 again, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is, that means right now, who is even at the right hand of God. To substantiate that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and satisfied the judgment of God, not only has he risen from the dead, but he ascended up into the heavens, highly exalted, glorified, and now he's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ is alive, and right now he maketh intercession for us. For those of us who love God, who are called according to his purpose, for those of us who was foreknown of God, who is predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, to reflect Christ in your life, who are called and justified and glorified, all in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. I'm blessed, not because I go to a church building, if you would, not because you went to a mosque or a temple and so on. You might get some teaching and be edified, and that's good in this place, and I ain't okay, fine. But the fact is this, you better make sure that you have a true, genuine heart faith in the biblical Messiah, Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done on the cross. Trusting him and looking to him. So you have the work of the Spirit making intercession for you. You have God for you. And also you have Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of the Father, who make intercession for you. So it shows you that God is not against you. God has went way, way out of his way to show that he loves you and that he's for you. So how could you ever question the love of God for you? God loves me, and I know he loves me. I accept and embrace that based upon authority and revelation and the integrity of God's word as I read the Holy Scriptures that was written by the holy apostles and prophets. So we see that there. All right, verse 34 again. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Historically, Christ has literally risen physically and bodily and gave so much evidences of his actual bodily resurrection from among the dead, having appeared to hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people for a period of 40 days, and there was too many overwhelming witnesses of the actual resurrection of Christ. It was known fact that he literally was crucified under Pontius Pilate by the hands of the Romans, and that he was taken down. And there was two men whom Pontius Pilate had given the body of Jesus. It was Joseph of Arimathea, and it was Nicodemus who assisted Joseph of Arimathea to bury the body of Christ. But 3 days later, Christ rise from among the dead, and he truly is alive forevermore. And he's right now in a resurrected, glorified body at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lived to make intercession for us. So you have the Son of God, who is your advocate and your intercessor right now in the presence of the Father God, making intercession for you right now. This intercession he's making for you got nothing to do with your feelings, your emotions, or what church you go to. It has to do with the fact that you love God, you are called according to his purpose, you were foreknown of God, predestinated by God, called of God, justified by God, and glorified by God. Now, we may not get to the glorification part. We may have to get to that part maybe next week. I do want to deal with that, but that is an amazing a revelation in Scripture that we have about glorified. What does it mean to be that we're glorified? I can see being called by God. I can see being justified, but glorified, what does that mean? How am I glorified? I don't feel no glorification. I don't see no glorification. What does it look like? How do I feel? I mean, is it like, what is it? Well, we'll deal with that, okay? I will do that in detail most likely on next week, okay? Let's finish reading. So it says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Man, from what? The love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Christ showed his love so clearly and demonstrated it. Also, for an example, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Galatia, Gentile believers, and he says this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, here, Paul says, Christ, he loved me and gave himself. He demonstrated his love by the giving of himself. Very clear in Scripture. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Over in my place, he went to the cross. In my place, he took my sins upon himself. In my place, he was judged for my sins. In my place, he was condemned and then smitten by God and died on that cross for my sins in my place. Shed all of his blood for all my sins to be remitted off my records and to be me to be forgiven and to redeem me. He paid a price to redeem me. Man, and I've been redeemed from darkness to light, from darkness, and now I'm redeemed to God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Why? I'm foreknown of God. I'm predestinated of God. I'm called of God. I'm justified. I'm glorified. Who gonna separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Nope. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Pearl? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Watch what he says. All the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow, the focus is on him. Well, he loved us. We're the focus of him, and he's the focus of us. He should be our focus in all these things. So in all things, no matter what it is, we are more than conquerors through him. Man, it's through him I'm washed in the blood. It's through him that I have his righteousness. It's through him that I'm forgiven. It's through him that I now sit in heavenly places. I'm forever sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's in him that I'm justified and I'm glorified. And all these things are more. None of these things can separate me from the love of Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then Paul says, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you thoroughly convinced, fully persuaded that neither death, watch this, what I love, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Wow. God has set his love upon us. We're forgiven in Christ. In Christ, we are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. In Christ, we're delivered from the power of darkness, having been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Christ, we've been raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A blessing. If God be for us, who could be against us? What is there for us to really complain about when I'm foreknown of God, predestinated by God, called of God, justified and glorified? Man, what a blessing. So, let me back up a little bit here. You see, God called you through the preaching of the gospel. When God sent people across your path and somehow you heard the message of the gospel, the good news about what Christ has done for you, and in that gospel, that was God calling you into his salvation. That was the voice of God through the gospel, hearing the true, authentic, unadulterated gospel as God calling you into his salvation. Okay? So, God called you. I'm not talking about being called by religion or anything else. I'm talking about God calling you through the preaching of the gospel. And you heard the word of the gospel. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the message of the gospel, the word of God being preached. And you then, in turn, convicted by the Holy Spirit of your need of Jesus to be your Savior, because you acknowledge and see that you are a sinner, you sin against God, you deserve judgment and condemnation, but now Christ satisfied the judgment of God for you and satisfied all that God required of man that man could not do, that Christ fulfilled for you, and you now look to Christ and trust him and believe on him and confess him as your Lord and Savior, resting your faith upon his death for your sins, the shedding of his blood, his glory, his resurrection, and you accept that, and then Christ receives you, wash you from your sins, robe you in his righteousness, and bring you to God's court of law, and God says, I declare you righteous. Wow, you've been joined to the Son of God, man. Thank you, Jesus. So now you stand before God as justified. As we went over in Romans chapter 3 on last week, when we was dealing with what's so special about the blood of Christ, and it is so special. And Peter says the precious blood of the Lamb. Man, the precious blood of Christ. The only blood, the only blood that was shed that brought about redemption for the human race, the only blood that was shed that could wash away all your sins, the only blood that was shed that could redeem you back to the Father, the only blood that can bring about justification, reconciliation, sanctification, the only blood, man, the only blood by which you can receive eternal life, the blood of Jesus Christ. So Paul says in Romans, he says that God is the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Man, it is God that justifies. I can't justify you. The bishop, the pope, the evangelist, the pastor, your man of God, or woman of God, or whatever, your pope, your imam, your minister, your rabbi can't justify you. You, from a biblical perspective, based upon the authority and integrity of the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, it's only God that justifies you. He's the only one that can vindicate you in his court of law, and he only vindicates you or justifies you solely contingent upon a true, genuine faith that you rest upon his son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It is God that justifies. So once you heard that gospel, you come to faith in Christ, man, you are justified. Romans 5:1 again, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through everything that Christ has done for you and I. So yes, God is for us. Now, we in our mind, why God allow this? Why don't God do this? Well, see, again, keep in mind, my brother and my sister, that the wisdom of God is so far superior than yours. You don't see all things. You don't know all things. You are not everywhere at one and the same time, and you are not all wise. But God is all that and above. He's all that and more. And so the wisdom of God is always going to be vindicated because you limit God in your mind or have a certain idea about what you want God to do. Well, you're not God. It's not your will. It's his will be done. So we don't. There's a lot of things that I have been through and going through, some things I don't understand and I don't necessarily get, but I have to truly trust God. I believe God. So I trust what the Word says. His Word is His Word. His Word is the authority to us. So I have to hold fast and be steadfast and unmovable in the Word, in my faith in what the Word says. So it's not about my feelings. It's not about what I go through. Do I truly, genuinely, authentically, realistically trust in the living true God who is the God of his word? His wisdom is so, man, his wisdom is so great. So he knows exactly what he's doing. I don't always see what God is doing. I don't always understand what God is doing, and I don't. So I walk by faith, knowing that he's working out together for my good, for my growth, for my development, for my maturity. All right, for me to become more conformed to the image of Christ. So my thing is to honor the authority of the Word of God and hold fast to my faith. So we have here, again, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. You got to continue to look to Christ, to what he done, the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Jesus Christ, who is even at the right hand of God. That's what Christ is right now. So after he had risen from among the dead, he ascended up to heaven, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. So going back to verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, we have the Spirit making intercession for us. We have that verse 28, those that love God, God's behind the scenes working all things together for their good. We have in verse 29 that God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, not conformed to religion, but conformed to the image of his son. You should be able to reflect Christ in your life, more and more like Christ, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So God had already planned a salvation for you and then called you through the gospel into the salvation. And then you come to faith and trust in Christ in whom he called. The story says, he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we see very clearly that the Word of God is the final authority. So I accept by faith that God foreknown me, predestinated me, called me, justified me, and glorified me. I accept by faith that I won't be condemned. Even Jesus said during his earthly ministry, as recorded in St. John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, are, "I solemnly say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Now, I shall not come into condemnation. I'm passed from death unto life. I am alive unto God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm not alive unto God because of religion, a mosque, a temple, a synagogue, a church building. No, I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I truly embrace the very divine, unique Son of the living God and accept all that he has done. So, by virtue of the fact that I love God and I'm called according to his purpose, according to the fact that you love God, you're called according to his purpose, if that's the case, God is behind the scenes working all things together for your good. Don't complain. Give God thanks. Give God glory. And continue to look to Christ, who is right now at the right hand of the Father. Because he is ever present with you. And God is for you. And he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always working for your good. Always. He's not working against you, but he's working for your good. Now, you may not always see it that way because of how your limited thinking and your sensory perception say, that's working against me. That's working against me. Why this and why that? No, I just say, you know what? Situation I'm in, what I'm facing, what I'm going through, God is behind the scenes. God is so at work. Oh, my God. I'm not interested in how busy the devil is. God is the one that's busy on my behalf. So I look to God. I look to Christ. Sticking to the authority of the Word of God. Do you look to the Word of God as your authority? God's authoritative word to you. So, next week we'll pick back up on this on part two on is God for us, or if God is for us, who could be against us? We'll pick back up on that. Now, remember that the final authority, we air live every Monday. Every Monday. 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember, if you ever want to give a donation, www.qljnradio.com. Scroll down to donation, and you click the donation button, and make sure you earmark it, your name, and you must state that this donation is for the final authority. That's if, in fact, you choose to give a free will contribution. Also, we have a ministry called the Will of God Christian Center located in Vallejo, California, 419 Georgia Street, suite number 12. Service on Sunday at 11:30. We'll pick back up on next week. We'll see you. And until then, remember that God is for you and he is working all things together for your good. God bless.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs of Q.